Hello?
Yep.
Oh, I see. Okay. How about a diver?
Better man than I.
When I'm not doing this, I'm a partner with a consulting company called Cincinnatus in Minneapolis. John, let's start here.
I'm John Dorn from Mankato, and when I'm not doing this, I substitute teach.
I should have said I'm from St. Paul, so I had a very short trip.
I'm Tim Hipsch, brand new to the council for General Mills during the day, working with their websites, Pillsbury.com and BettyCrocker.com.
Great.
I'm Lisa Peelan, and when I'm not here, I'm the Director of Municipal Affairs for the Minnesota Multi-Housing Association. It's a nonprofit trade association of rental property owners.
Del Jenkins, I'm a regional network engineer for Accenture in downtown Minneapolis, and I'm glad to be here.
I'm Janet Lexton from Lakeville, one of the other new kids on the block. Currently, I'm unemployed, spend my time job searching when I'm not here. Previous to that, I was at Dakota County Technical College and their foundation for several years.
Great. I'm Liz Coppola. When I'm not here, I am executive director of the Minnesota Coalition for the Homeless, and I also serve on the Eveleth City Council up on the Iron Range, and I'm about a toddler here, 2 years, I think.
My name's Carl Kermans. I'm the president of the Minnesota Pipe Trades, and I live in Champlin.
Okay. Great. Yvonne?
Yvonne Condell, Professor Emeritus of Minnesota State University, Moorhead.
I'm Sonia Hohnadel, and I'm an administrative assistant with the Tri-College University, which is a consortium of North Dakota State University, Minnesota State University, Moorhead, and Concordia College. And I also serve on the Moorhead School Board.
I'm Billy Young. Yvonne and I have been here forever, I think. I'm presently Louis Warren Hill's biographer. It'll be out next year.
Great.
My name is Joe Aiken. I'm from Bemidji, Minnesota, member of the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe. I retired about a year and a half ago and just love it. And life's good. And I'm very glad to be back here and see the familiar faces and the new ones as well.
Put some work on it.
Dave Larkin, retired like Joe, in fact, also from the same part of the world. Actually, I live near Wilton, which is a little town 8 miles west of Bemidji, and kind of doing what I want to do most of the time.
I'm Marilyn Cathcart, and when I'm not here, I teach and am an administrator at St. Catherine University.
I'm Nancy Black, and I'm back again, and I'm the chair of the Social Science Department at Metropolitan State University.
I'm Earl Rasmussen. I'm a certified public accountant. I have a sole proprietorship up in Blaine, where I work with my wife and my youngest son.
Great. We're just introducing ourselves.
Sure. My name is Nimco Ahmed, and I work currently for the City of Minneapolis for Councilmember Robert Littlegren, who happens to be the Vice President of the City Council.
Great. From Minneapolis.
Minneapolis.
Great. Okay. Thank you. We have always this rich geographic diversity from all over the state, and that's a part of our diversity and our enjoyment. You have the minutes of the April 2nd through 4th, 2008 meeting before you. That was the meeting at which we made our last selection some 20 months ago. Motion would be in order to approve.
I'll make the motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any changes? I'm sure it's all just burned fresh in our memories 20 months ago. It's been quite a 20 months, hasn't it? Mm-hmm. Right. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The minutes are adopted. Chair's comments and announcements. For the new folks at the table, this is our organizational meeting. It's our first of two organizational meetings. And we just sort of, it's a combination of orientation and just teeing up the issues that we'll be dealing with, or the roles and responsibilities that we have as the Trustees Candidate Advisory Committee. I mentioned in my announcement, in my own introduction, that I think it's time to rotate the chair. I've been here for two cycles, And this is the last cycle I can guarantee even being on the TCAC, because between now and the next cycle, I will have to go through a reappointment. And all the people who appointed me the last time aren't there anymore. So there's no guarantee. It just seems to me that it would be a good idea to have a chair who might have a possible to be here for two cycles. And yet it wouldn't be very fair to ask one of our newest people to do it. So this is early warning that the people who are appointed 113 are the most likely candidates to be thinking. Billy Young, Liz Coppola, John Dorn, David Larkin, Dean Deutscher, Zeneb Hassan, Bruce Watkins, and John Poupart is a class of 13. So be thinking about that class as a possible chair. We have, and that's, I don't think, are there any other announcements? Then let's go to the overview. We have a change in the statutory language. If you look in my packet, it's just behind the minutes that we just approved. There's the statutes 2009, the Trustees Candidate Advisory Committee, and it discusses the purpose. Our job, just simply put, is to review and pass on candidates for the open seats that are coming up in July 1st of 2010. For the trustees of the MNSCU system. Our responsibility is to forward to the governor 2 to 4 names per position unranked. So we simply say that these are 2 to 4 that have gone through our interview process and we think are have viability for the candidates for service as trustees on the MNSCU board. We are asked to make sure that we have good geographic representation as well as other socioeconomic characteristics. Under the duties, you'll see that we also run the recruitment process. So we run the marketing and the public relations that makes the Minnesota public as large a part of the public as we can know that this opportunity to serve the public is available. We also have the responsibilities to, if possible, in your own network, personally recruit or encourage people. Now, that's a little tricky because what we can't do is go up to a close friend and say, you'd make a great MNSCU trustee, and I can guarantee that you'll make it through the process. No guarantees in life. No overselling, so to speak, but in your own personal networks. And this becomes particularly important in some of the greater Minnesota districts where we've traditionally have had a harder time getting a larger number of people simply because there are fewer numbers of people out there. And this is a relatively complex system. I'll remove the word relatively. This is a very complex system, and so it's a big governance role. We also have the responsibility of choosing the selection criteria that we'll use, and we'll get to that in a minute, and then recommend to the governor by April 15th of next year. So we back all of our scheduling back from there. We have criteria that we'll want to review, not so much today, but between now and next meeting, to both personal and professional. I'll ask you to take that home and review that. And we also have the responsibilities of the trustees. I often, and Billy, you can correct me on this, I think of the
Never.
Two
Never.
The two biggest volunteer jobs in the state of Minnesota are the University of Minnesota Regents and the trustees of MinSU. Yeah.
I was commenting that I would never correct you. That's what I was.
But so you agree that
I do agree.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So we have a serious job in terms of our vetting.
In this place. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yes, we do.
Yep. Let's see. Then we have a sheet called from the House Research Department to identify one of the sometimes sources of frustration for this for this council and others is we are living testimony that no one controls governors. And so what we have is our hit ratio for governors' appointments from our list. It's a two-pager called from, it was at the top, is House Research Department. And we could simply say that last time we bat 750. So three out of four were appointed from the list that we had submitted to the governor. One was not passed on but interviewed, Louise Sundin, and the governor went ahead and appointed her. This has been, for those of you with a partisan flair, this has been a bipartisan effort. We've had Republicans, Democrats, and Independents not appoint from our pool and appoint from our pool. Our best batting average was with the Independent, Jesse Ventura, appointed, if I remember correctly, I think 100%.
Yes.
Yeah, he did.
From the two pools that we submitted to him. So governors have from April 15th to July 1st to make his appointments. And our work is over when we send the names on to the governor. I think I'll wait till item 7 for the little wrinkle that we've got. Are there any questions or did I miss anything in what was it, admittedly sort of a quick orientation to our role? The way it works is that we do the recruiting. There's a deadline that we hope we can live with. Sometimes we've had to extend it a little bit. Then we have a meeting where we choose from the paper applications who we want to interview. And then we have approximately 2 to 2.5 solid days of interviews towards the end of March, early April. And then we vote and submit 2 to 4 names for each of the four openings, or maybe 3.
So how many times does the group meet, more or less?
One time in January for organizational purposes, and then one time in near the end of February to select our interviewees, and then 2.5. We block off 3 days for the interviews and the voting. Mm-hmm. So that's a total of five days between now and April 15th. Okay. And we'll see if we can get at least the next meeting scheduled by at the end of the day. Any other questions or comments?
We have Senator my left.
Are you joining us?
Hi, Sandy.
Yeah. Hi.
I'm Senator Sandy Powell.
Yes, right. Hi.
But can someone ask me to come for just a few minutes and talk about the advisory committee?
It's at the Regents next Friday.
Oh, it's the Regents.
This Friday.
Got it mixed up.
But Senator Powell, it's great to see you.
Here. Right.
You can stay here if you want to.
It's the same process.
I just wanted to say one thing I was thinking about on my way over here, and I want to thank you all for your service. It's really, really important that we have good trustees on the MinSCU board. The role that MinSCU plays in educating Minnesotans is a very, very crucial role, especially these days. And we're trying to get more and more of our students, you know, into college and through college and finishing college. Their chances are much better, obviously, in the workforce. The other real important thing is, as you interview candidates, we really need people that are very experienced in hiring chief executive officers, because mm-hmm. Chancellor McCormick is going to be retiring. The same thing is true with the regents mm-hmm. and with President Brunix. And so it's really going to be helpful to have people on the board who have had that kind of experience. I also want you to know that sometimes we have a rough road with the governor. He doesn't always respect your recommendations, and we're real sensitive to that, and we've been encouraging the governor to, respect the work that you put into interviewing candidates and the time that you take, and we hope to also respect the work that you do because we think it's really important, so... Great. That's all I wanted to say, and thank you very much again. And if you ever have any questions about anything or you need any changes in your composition or the role that you play, just please let me know.
Thank you.
Thank you. You looked awfully familiar, and I thought, this isn't a new member of the group. So, right. Maybe someday, right? Great. Thank you. Okay, we've had, I saw the name. Introduce yourself, please.
Yes. Good afternoon. I'm Carolyn Williams, and I'm very pleased to be on this because, like she said, trustees are very important at this time. Thank you.
Great. Welcome. Okay. We now move to the election of the council chair mm-hmm. and the floor is open for nominees.
Where did you get the list that you read the names of?
This was a list.
I've been trying to find that list.
We have them.
Ah,
but
I see.
Yep.
Yeah.
Of the not,
house research.
Yeah.
Right.
Thank you. Yeah.
I don't think you've got the list by classes. So
that's
to speak.
What I was referring.
Yep.
The list
yep.
by classes.
Yep. So that that was run. Sally did it for me.
Okay.
So,
maybe if you could read those names
yep.
off more slowly
yep.
so we could
okay.
note them down.
Billy Young, Liz Coppola, John Dorn, David Larkin, Dean Deutscher, not here right today.
Okay.
Zainab Hassan. She just walked in.
She just walked in. She walked out again.
Bruce Watkins. And John Poupart.
Who was the last?
John. Am I saying that name right? Poupart?
John yes. Poupart. Yeah,
John right. Poupart.
Okay.
Poupart. Who's also not here, I believe.
Okay.
Maybe I should just describe the role. You work with Sally on the preparation of the agendas, and you basically run the meeting. So it's not heavy lifting.
Yeah.
Try to have the chair sort of welcomes the candidates when they come in and runs the interview process. So it's sort of.
And did you say you could chair still through this cycle and then it's the next one where you'd have to be done?
No, I think this one I should be done. And Liz, the reason I say that is that I'm not guaranteed a reappointment. So it would be good to have a chair sort of cut their eye teeth on this while I'm still around the kibbutz.
It looks like I'm going to be reappointed.
No.
Yep.
One of my tax clients is
the kibbutz.
One eleven. So just before the end, the beginning of the next cycle.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think that's.
Mr. Chair, is it your wish not to serve, or are you staying on protocol?
Well, I was thinking that it would be better to have another person do the chairing, and I think we've had sort of an informal norm of two times. Who preceded me? From Wilmer.
Yeah.
Pardon?
The attorney from Wilmer.
Yeah, attorney from Wilmer. Vanderkoy.
Oh.
Right, and he had two cycles. So I just sort of standing by protocol more than anything else.
Well, you know, protocol, to heck with that. I mean, if you would be willing to serve, I mean, it just has been working very well with you, Ken. I mean, I've been the joker this morning. I don't mean to be treating this lightly, but...
Well, as I said, it's not heavy lifting. It's just I just wanted to offer that that's a viable option. And of course, you are brand new for the meeting. I have no idea how well I do.
He does well.
Or do.
Does well, right. No, it's just working very efficiently, Ken. And if you would, you know, feel... I would like to nominate Kent for a third term, if that's appropriate at the
time.
And
I'd second that in a moment.
I would be in favor, since we need a smooth transition into the...
I'm sorry, we can't hear you.
I said I would favor that because the smooth transition is very important, and... I'm new to the board, and even though I served on a lot of national boards, and I think that that's important for this kind of thing that I think it's going to be, what, six people who will be leaving the Board of Trustees?
Four.
Four?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot.
So, yeah.
I call for the question. I think the motion has been made.
I'm seconded.
Are you ready to question and call? All in favor of ending the debate, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All in favor of the nominee, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Got Eklund to kick around another cycle. So thank you. I'll be happy to do that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ken.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah.
Then we have a nominee for vice chair. Our current vice chair is Billy Young.
I was the current vice chair.
Oh, I'm sorry, Nancy.
That's an important job.
Yeah, I'm already have my cycles mixed up.
That's all right. That was previously, yes. Right.
Nancy, see, you're not that important.
I know.
It's not heavy lifting. Yes, Lisa?
Well, I was all set to
yeah, I know, but make it Nancy.
But I'll make it for
make
you.
Make it Nancy.
We're all going like this.
No.
Motion's been made for Nancy Black as the vice chair. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Are there any other nominees?
That's all for the question.
All in favor of closing the debate, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? All in favor of Nancy Black as vice chair, with my apologies, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you.
Okay. That was simple. Now, we have a status to report to you that is a little unclear. It's more unclear than when we first walked in. So let me ask Sally, have you passed out the... We had a change in our enabling legislation. Mm-hmm. And what is unclear is there is a change in the status that says that the Minnesota AFL-CIO shall recruit and screen qualified labor candidates to be recommended to the governor for appointment to the board. So one of our 12 seats is now appointed by the AFL-CIO. And what we don't have today is which of the seats. For example, under Roman numeral 7 of our agenda today, we were under the impression that we had two at-large positions, one District 1 position and one District 8 position, and that the following board members expire June 30, 2010. By the way, I forgot to mention that incumbents are free to apply for another term, and they either show up or they don't show up as candidates in the pool. And we've had sort of a tradition of at least taking an incumbent through the interview process, but we've also had the tradition of being free not to send on an incumbent or send on an incumbent. Mm-hmm. So they're treated just a little differently in the sense that they get the interviews, but they're also then blended into the pool of candidates as we go forward. So at this point, we don't know if Dwayne Benson out of District 1, Ruth Grendel out of District 2, David Olson out of as an at-large position, and Tom Rainier at District 8. The reason why we're saying there are two potentially at-large is there's also another District 2 member of the Board of Trustees. So this could be another at-large position. There are 12 trustees that we are involved with. We're not involved with the student representatives. And each cycle, every biennial cycle, we work with four appointments. So we tried to get clarification about this, and I think all we can say is we hope to have it clarified by our next meeting.
Yeah.
This is new territory for us, we don't know. Anything more you want to say, Sally, about that?
That sounds
yeah. We don't know if it's one of our four. If it's this time, we assume it is one of our four this time, but we don't know which would likely be an at-large appointment.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Would that really change our recommendations moving forward? Wouldn't we still send the same recommendations forward and the governor, depending on who the representative or who the appoints, decide which slot is open?
We're waiting for that answer.
Okay.
That's an entirely logical solution, but we don't know. Yep. Lisa?
Mr. Chair, I'm just curious. Do you know who the author was of this legislation?
Do not. There's a rumor that a certain senator from Hibbing or Virginia
was
involved. Representative.
I think so.
Rugavina.
Rugavina.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Who has mm-hmm. an ongoing interest in Minsky.
Thank
so,
you.
Mr. Chair.
But we don't know, and all we know is that whoever gave birth to the idea got it through the whole legislature. Liz?
So I think there's probably two things to answer. One is just the legal issue of what the legislation says, but another one is process. And I'm wondering if we could appoint a little delegation of folks to go talk with our friends at Labor and ask, because kind of unofficially, some of my friends have thought they respect this process. They just want to really make sure that there's a Labor person as part of it. And they're kind of unofficially thinking that maybe there's a way our two processes could work together. Mm-hmm. And so I wonder if we could send a little delegation from here to go talk with them and see if that would, you know, if we could figure something out.
Well, I used to be in the AFL-CIO years ago. CIO.
So the governor, if I read this, Liz, and see if you agree with this, that they make 2 to 4 recommendations. Mm-hmm. He could appoint somebody from the AFL-CIO not out of their pool, but still has to be a Labor candidate. Is that the way you read the legislation?
Yeah, but I'm not an attorney, so
no.
That's
what we're really waiting to hear from is from the
yep.
the attorneys that work with us on this.
But even with that, once we figure that out, my friends in Labor told me that they really respect the process we go through. You know, we listen to senators and others and figure out what the needs are, and they're not really maybe quite as interested in doing all that kind of background work that we do. If there's a way that we can team up, and I think there might be a way. To figure that out. And then I think we'd be hedging our bets a little bit. There's a chance then we'd have a better chance of one of our appointees being selected because there'd be possibly, or at least we wouldn't, and maybe there's a possibility it wouldn't work at all, but I think that if we went and talked with Labor, maybe we could see if there is a way that we work together.
So one way would be to have Labor pre-screen and then have them interviewed by us as part of the process? Would that be
that could
an
be,
option?
I think that they might have the best ideas, and I just think the idea of meeting with them might be good.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, will you please check out and see if there will be a conflict of interest for us to do that?
Right. I think we need to check with our legal support and see what's legally permissible within this legislation. Carl?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I'm on the executive board of the AFL-CIO. And they've asked me to help them put together the process because I mentioned that I'm on this board. And they said, well, we want a screen, and we want our screen to be as close to this as possible.
Okay.
So I've been talking to the president of the AFL-CIO, Shar Knutson, and they're trying to put a committee together of 15 people that would start bringing candidates forward for themselves so they could interview candidates throughout the state.
So they're still in the beginning stages, but there is some talk, and I agree that, you know, I don't know what the board here wants to do. If they want to...
I think it's not only what the board wants to do, but what the board can do is...
I mean, would the board consider sharing the documentation that you use here, or would you want the AFL-CIO to develop their own document? You know, if you have a form like the interview forms we have, and when you do the reviews, and we call people up and vet the candidate.
My understanding is it's all public information, so sure.
Okay, that was something I didn't want to share anything until the board here agrees that that's something. Like you say, if it's public,
right?
I'm an old member of the CIO going way back, but it seems to me that maybe that'd be best that they would go through and pick five or six candidates and send them to us for reviewing, and then we could appoint the member.
We could recommend.
We
could recommend the appointment then.
Well, we recommend we'd have to recommend two to four out of that panel.
Yeah.
I mean, that's another option, Carl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's worth discussion here.
Yeah. But that's...
Billy?
Yeah, it seems that's the role of labor now, to devise its own criteria for what it wants in its representatives, and do your own screening, and then have them apply, and they have to be identified as having come from your pool of
right.
candidates.
Sure.
And then we would put them through the process that we do everyone, but simply being aware that they are in this, we now have a special category created by the legislature.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the statute doesn't say that person has to come through us. It says the organization must develop a process for selecting the candidates, and the organization must recommend at least two and no more than four candidates to the governor. The labor union directly recommends to the governor. They don't have to go through us.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So it's a totally different process, separate from this one, according to the way I'm reading this. It says the AFL-CIO labor organization will do their own selection criteria, will do their own selecting of candidates, and will do their own recommendation. It's not supposed to go through us.
Sonia, I'm just wondering, though, if it would be a double blessing for two of them if they also get our blessing. That's what I'm wondering.
Oh, okay.
It might be a win-win for
Nancy. We would recognize the fact that they've already been screened by the labor union.
By the labor union. Okay.
But we'd sit here and screen them also, and then we'd send them forward to the governor. So we'd probably send the same four forward.
Okay.
So the governor could select.
Nancy.
Suppose we didn't agree.
I mean, there's a possibility. The whole process is rather unclear, and I'm agreeing with what you said, Sonia. It was my understanding that it was completely separate. The thing that I'm not clear about, Carl, is when you're discussing a 15-member board that would be, I mean, I recognize the AFL-CIO is a quite large labor union, but it's not the only labor organization in the state of Minnesota. So the way this is written, it appears to me unclear who labor is. Is it synonymous with AFL-CIO? I mean, Louise Sundin is not from that particular sector of labor.
Yes, she is.
Yes, she is? Okay, I thought
Education
she was...
Education Minnesota is in the AFL-CIO.
Oh, I didn't know that.
AFSCME's in the AFL-CIO.
Okay.
You know, I think there's 170,000 people, mm-hmm. you know, members.
Mm-hmm.
But nurses and...
Not Teamsters.
Teamsters are in the building trades.
Yeah.
But not in that. But.
Well, my question is...
The building trades going to come up with an idea to do the same thing as you're doing? You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. No.
But all I'm saying... Well, you're talking about things we don't control. But all I'm saying is this statute got passed. So
right.
Now we have to deal with the statute.
My question is specifically to the statute, and that is, it says the Minnesota AFL-CIO shall recruit and screen qualified labor candidates. So we're assuming that only members of the AFL-CIO can recruit and screen, but the labor candidates could be from any labor organization. Is that a correct?
I would say that. You know, you don't have to be a member of the AFL-CIO. Mm-hmm. It's just the AFL-CIO is going to do the screening.
Okay.
Right.
TCAC does this screening.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That group's going to do that screening.
And then, as you pointed out, directly forward, they have direct access to the governor. So the the question I think that we'd want to ask legal counsel is their reading. Should we consider blending in one way or the other, or would the AFL-CIO want that to happen? I think the idea of having Carl and maybe Liz, but here's what I'd recommend. Let's first get a good legal opinion of what are our options so that we're not outside the law. Because the strict reading of the law would say this is a completely separate process. Do we have the option of opening our process to them for the sort of the double approval? Lisa?
Mr. Chair, I wonder if we could also get a pretty quick determination of if this is one of the at-large seats. I mean, you'd have to assume it would be, but knowing that sooner rather than later in terms of recruiting would be helpful.
Yeah, and I'm assuming that because this passed, this is going to be implemented in this cycle. So, but we don't. The law isn't clear on that, so we have to check on that. Yes, John?
And one thing I would like them to clarify just specifically in my own mind is if we would have the ability to not forward the name of someone that was forwarded to us. If they have 2-4, if 4 would come before us, would we have, and we only wanted to recommend 2, could we even do that according to this language?
Carl?
I would think at this point, I'll ask the president, but I don't think they are considering recommending candidates to this panel.
Mm-hmm. No. Okay, right.
And then the governor's going to decide between the 8 recommendations.
I was reading this.
Right. Yep.
What do you want?
Yep. So I think the real question is there's any problem with giving some of our screening criteria and that to the AFL-CIO? And my feeling is that would be open record and available.
Yeah, I didn't want to share any paperwork until brought it forward here. But I thought if everybody's using the same form, it might make things a lot easier for the governor or for anybody else that everybody answered the same question, so you can compare apples to apples.
Yeah.
Karen, did you have?
Was your name Liz?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's kind of, and I'm new, so this is kind of like a little blurry to me, but what I'm seeing is that, you know, us competing with the AFL-CIO, which I don't want to be in that type of position, but what I want to see here is for us to be able to sit down with the labor union and, you know, and come sort of like some sort of criteria where, like, all right, can you forward your names? We'll forward our names. Can we match it up and figure out before we actually submit them or things like that? And I know there's a legal issue on the table for us as well, not knowing where we can go with this, but if we can figure it out sooner than later, I think it would be really helpful. And I also second for us to actually hopefully meet with them as well.
Mr. Chair, I move, if a motion is in order, I move that the chair will be asked to find out all the legal ramifications about participating in this proposal. Because I think we need to be clear.
I'll second that motion. Mm-hmm.
Does the motion also suggest that if there's some action that can be taken between now and January, we do that, or after we find out what we can legally do?
I'll leave that to the discretion of the chair.
Okay. Any speaking to the recommendation?
I have just a question. Your motion doesn't address the issue of whether or not we talk to the AFL-CIO. Is that correct? It's just to find out.
It does. It does include. We have not to do anything until we get.
But the law, I'm no attorney, but I can't imagine the law will say that you cannot speak to the AFL-CIO, and the law won't say, yes, you must speak to the AFL-CIO. Like, to me, there's the legal issues, and then there's just the issues of working together. My concern, and I was talking to people much lower at the AFL, so I'm glad you spoke up, but my concern is that it would go against labor's interests if we then decide not to appoint any labor reps, or if that's a strike against them because labor gets its special seat at the table, or its special different route. And I just think
that's going to happen.
Yeah, that's what
I mean. If they've already got four people going up there, why should we put another labor person up?
Exactly, and that's my concern.
What's your problem?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's why I would like for a little delegation of us to go meet with a little delegation of them to figure out how we make sure that being part of labor isn't going to be a strike against people anymore at this
committee. And I'm pro-labor, so that I would go against any labor person from our group going up.
Well, we have the motion on the table, and let's simply say that if the legal beagles permit me to have that conversation, then I'll have that conversation between now and the next January meeting.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mr. Chair.
And I think, Karen, just a clarification. We'll have maybe three that we'll be working on independently of the AFL-CIO. AFL-CIO has one, and so they'll have direct access to the governor through their process.
Oh, so it's one. Okay, so
one
I thought
of the
that
four.
Okay,
right.
Okay,
that's.
But so either way, your motion actually says that check the legal issues as far as where we need to go from here, and then if the chair needs to have a conversation with the labor union.
If that's.
We can do so?
Do so.
Okay.
Yeah. Tim.
Mr. Chair, one other question for clarification. Since we do have a member that's currently on the Board of Trustees from Labor, how does that play into the numbers? Since that person was just appointed, is that the one rep? And therefore, this really isn't up for another two cycles?
Two more cycles. Don't know.
That's a good question.
Whoever drafted that statute should
right.
Do this.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We probably may ask our legal representative to also check with the author. Yes.
Sure. I think you already started saying that. But, I mean, my concern is if we do meet with the labor union, are we also meeting with other candidates as well in terms of discussing the process and how it would go forward? So, I mean, how open is our process to others as well?
I think the other process will continue as we have done it. It's just that this legislation puts us in a different category for this one appointment process. This is, in a sense, a side-by-side appointment process from us. And so one of the things is that, to pick up Karen's comment, we don't want to be in conflict with them, but if we can be in collaboration with them, fine. We'll just see what our legal options are. Lisa?
Mr. Chair, I was just a little bit uncomfortable with resolving this question by simply checking with the author of the legislation, because there can be instances where what the author intends and what the legislation says are two different things. So
we will talk to the lawyers will drive this one.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Right. Carl?
And the other part is too, Mr. Chairman, that it does state that the governor does not have to take any of the AFL-CIO recommendations. Mm-hmm. So no matter who you send up there, he could do like he's done it before and just pick someone else that nobody's ever even interviewed. So.
Right. Yep. Well, he might say that Louis Sundet is the AFL-CIO representative, and then that would be one option he might have, I think. But we want to check on that, too. Yes, Nancy.
Yeah, I would like to request that you bring us back the following information. How much is the budget for this? How much is spent by this group, the advisory council? I mean, one of the things that we've discussed over the last few years is the fact that this process was disheartening. For example, in 2004, when the governor only took one of the recommendations, and in these times of scarce money, I want to know how much money this group is allocated and what we spend over the last few years, and I'd like to know if there's some kind of budget line that's going to be funding the AFL-CIO in their process. Yeah, I mean, who's paying for it? How much is it costing? I think it's our responsibility.
Okay, we'll check that.
Call for a question, Mr.
Okay,
Chair.
Are you ready to end all in favor of ending the discussion? Say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
I did have a clarification point. If I may. As I read this, after the AFL-CIO under this 136 F section recommends somebody for 2010, and then the one member representing labor must be appointed. It would not have to come from what was recommended by the AFL-CIO, but it looks like somebody who sits on the board currently who is who would qualify as representing labor there'd have to be another one in 2010.
Yep.
So just
the way I read this.
But we'll just get a good clarification.
But, yeah.
Okay. All in favor of the proposal, say aye.
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 Opposed? A new wrinkle. So we'll communicate by email as soon as we can what the results are. Before the next meeting. Yep. Joe, do you have anything else?
Well, I was just... isn't this kind of redundant legislation? Because I think we've always had a chair on this committee from labor.
On the TCAC?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it's more tradition than legal, but we always have had. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a chair position on the trustees.
I think they're looking for some security here. Or, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I have a question as a new person on the board. Is it in our purview at all to even suggest tweaking a particular statute like this? That no.
We have not had that as our...
No.
No chance to recommend.
No. Well, nobody elected. Plus, it wouldn't happen before this process was over anyway.
You'd have to find a representative.
Right. No, I understand.
But we have not in the past.
But I didn't know if there were conflicts or you know, if that has taken place. Right. Yeah.
Well, we'll have a good conversation about this at our next meeting.
Yeah.
So, yep. Yeah. Good. We have two, traditionally, I'm moving to item number eight. No, let's see. Do we want to try to do some scheduling today?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Everyone has a calendar. And there we go. The schedule... is in front of you. It's called the TCAC schedule with some blanks to it. Council meeting in January. Normally, we'd like to do this prior to the recruitment letters and press releases.
Yeah.
If we could, that gives us the first week of January for our second organizational meeting. As you see, the deadline is February 15th. February 17th, the applications would be mailed to you, and one of our questions that we'll ask you is there an email address that saves postage if you're willing to do some printing or hard copy. And then March, the meeting after you've had up to a couple of weeks to review, a meeting to pick our interview candidates. Our tradition has been to try to have 6 to 8, but we can do more per opening. It's just that the interviews get a little long. And then sometime the end of March, early April, as close to tax time for Earl to get mad at us. I'm kidding. End of March, early April, the 3 days schedule.
You better watch out for tax season this year. It's going to be nasty.
Yep. Right. Yep. So the April 15th is a Wednesday. So let's...
April 15th?
No, this is 2000...
Flip it over.
Sorry.
10. Flip
2010.
It over.
Yep. So the question about, let's do the first meeting, the January, week of January 4th. How does that look for our next organizational meeting?
Mm-hmm. January 8th looks good.
January 8th, a Friday?
Yeah, it's a Friday.
Do we want? You had mentioned you wanted it before the letters go out. Then,
right.
Wouldn't it be better to do it earlier in that week?
Yep, if we could.
Yeah, we could do that.
Yep.
So when do you want it?
January 5th or 6th?
Okay.
Does anybody have any structural problems with middle of the week, beginning of the week? Mm-mm. Joe, what would you get?
Thursday I'd be able to make it, but I'm going to be leaving on the 8th. If that's...
Or the 6th.
Where are you going on the 8th?
Hawaii.
Hawaii. Warm.
Work on my tan.
Right.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So no, January 7th?
Okay. That'd work for me, but that's only me. Don't.
That'll work for me, because Wednesdays I teach.
January 7th?
Usually here. John?
Mr. Chair, what is the situation if the weather is terrible on January 7th? Then what would we run into in terms of our deadline? Or would we be better off going earlier in the week and have a backup possibility?
Yeah, I agree.
How about the 5th?
Yes.
That works good.
Okay, go on the 5th and then a backup on the 7th.
Okay, 1:30 on the afternoon of, and it'll be in one of these conference rooms here, one of these hearing rooms.
Mr. Chair, did you need a motion to that effect?
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
No.
Okay.
As long as I've got more vertical nods than horizontal nods, I'm going to go with it.
Thank you.
So, January 5th, TCAC.
Yeah.
And just pray for the weather. So.
If Pardon? Not good weather, do it on December 7th.
1:30, is that work? 1:30 to 3. We try to hold both these meetings to an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm. So do you think we should, in case the weather's bad, we could go out again on the 7th then instead?
Yeah, you leave yourself an option. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could we hold the weather hold on the 7th? Okay. TCAC hold. First choice is 7th. Pardon?
No, first choice is the 5th. First choice is the 5th, then we can go on to 7th.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Then, and we've got some work to do between now and then, but then the second meeting that prior to interviews would be the week in early March. Mm-hmm. And here we start running into potentially some scheduling issues.
Well, I wonder if we should look at early March versus later so you don't run into spring breaks.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
March 2nd.
March 2nd.
Okay, the 3rd.
March 2nd.
And is this for the interviews?
No, this is where we will pick the candidates that we want to interview at the end of March or early April.
Interviewees.
Excuse me, I'm teaching on Tuesdays.
Okay.
Okay.
Tuesday afternoon I'm teaching.
Third.
So how about the 3rd?
3rd?
Wednesday the 3rd of March.
Doesn't Carolyn teach?
But I could.
How about Thursday?
Thursday the 4th?
Is that okay?
How about Thursday, March 4th?
Okay.
And this usually we may need a couple of hours. Sometimes it takes a little longer to do.
When you
John?
And Mr. Chair, as I recall, if we're unable to make the meeting for some reason, we were able last time to get the copies and express our preferences that way. So if somebody new
That's
to the
in
board.
Our, mm-hmm. In our
yeah.
policy review.
Yeah.
So we settle on March 4th?
Do we settle on March 4th?
Yes.
How does that work?
Do you have a conflict?
I do have a conflict with that, Mr. Chair, but okay. I think all those dates are going to be a hardship for one of us.
Let's do this. Let's just see. Raise your hand if you have a conflict. We'll just do each day of that week. March 1st, Monday.
One.
Two.
March
2nd. One, two. March 3rd.
Okay.
March 3rd. Carolyn, you have a class conflict, right?
Yes.
So you're one. And March 4th?
Three.
We better go on the 3rd then.
Oh, so.
Is there any chance you can get someone to teach class that day?
Maybe I'll dismiss.
Okay. All right.
So it's have them do a live.
March 3rd was the only one with, it was just only one. So
1:30.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And that one's a longer meeting?
And correct? Block a couple hours on that one. because it takes sometimes a little longer to do that. Now the hard one.
Just do a library.
The interviews. We find that we can do, in fairness to people, about 8 a day with a lunch break. Mm-hmm. And so we try to, if we're doing 3 this cycle, it looks like we will be, then up to 8 per opening.
Yes, 3.
But we'll leave that up to the policies and procedures. You know, we may do 9, so we get out. But we've done Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and on a Friday. So let me start with the one that might make the most sense and see where we are. Let's see. The religious holidays are... Fourth is Easter and Eastern Orthodox Easter. So...
7th, 8th, and 9th.
How about 7, 8, and 9?
April 7th, 8th, and 9th?
Yeah.
7, 8, and 9, April.
7...
And for you new people, this really is a whole day.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. We might, with a little luck, get out early afternoon on Friday. Depends upon how well we do our photos.
All day.
All 3 days.
Wow.
Yep. But Karen, like Karen, you get a very generous per diem for each one of those days.
I like to hold.
Buys you lunch, breakfast, and parking.
I like to hold it in early April because I don't want to hit the 15th.
Yep. So, anybody know right now that they couldn't make April 7, 8, and 9?
I know I can't make the morning of the 9th, but what was the rules if you missed some part of it? You can read up the stuff and still participate.
Listen to the tape.
Listen, that's right. Yeah, it's just the early morning I can't make in the night. It's good with me. Okay.
And Friday will be all day Friday also?
Well, yes. Well, we'll try to finish up the interviews by around noon. And for those of you who have never done this, it's amazing how quickly it goes. So usually by 2 or 2:30,
okay,
we're done with the voting.
What time are we starting, Mr. Chair?
8.
All right.
8.
April 7, 8, and 9.
So that's 2 Wednesdays.
I
got
to prepare.
Mr.
Okay.
Chair?
Yes.
Would there be a problem if I ended up leaving on Friday and then give my...
Well, we have,
recommendations
we have to do the policies and procedures is the next thing, the committee to do that. We've traditionally not had absentee balloting, but okay, we can open that.
Only because I've already made arrangements for the National School Board Association in Chicago on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday with my school board. So we're leaving on Friday afternoon. And the school board conference is in Chicago on the 10th, 11th, and 12th.
What time do you leave?
Depending on what time they schedule my flights for. So if I could tell them to schedule it late in the afternoon.
Do that.
Yeah.
If you can, then let us know.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So 7, 8, and 9, all day, not evenings, reserved. For those of you out of town, we pay for overnight hotel lodging for Wednesday night and Thursday night. And Sally has... great place to stay. Okay. So.
Yeah. Don't mind a bit.
We are set. Great. Thank you for your flexibility, and Carolyn, good luck. Great. Okay. Next item on the agenda is to appoint subcommittee members. We have two subcommittees that we have traditionally worked with. One is to review the policies and procedures, and there's do we have them in here now? Okay. We have a set of policies and procedures, and this is a committee that meets once and simply makes recommendations for any changes that we might want to have in terms of the voting procedures and the interview procedures and that. And both of these committees meet once between now and the January meeting. So are there anyone interested in...
I'd nominate Liz for policy and procedures.
Liz, or you're looking at Lisa.
Lisa, I meant Lisa. I beg your pardon. No, I... No,
well, I'm not going to take nominations. I'm going to take volunteers.
Oh, beg your pardon. Okay, well, I was suggesting she volunteer.
Chair's ruling Billy out of order. No fair volunteering other people. Great.
And can you tell me what this committee does again?
We have rules, policies, and procedures that govern the interview process. And I think that's it, isn't it? The interview process.
They go over that. They go over the interview questions, review the application, make sure everything's right. Lisa, I think you may have been on that one last time.
Mm-hmm. I think she was.
It's helpful to have at least one veteran who might say, can we tweak this from last time?
I will support you to volunteer.
Great. Are there any other volunteers to share that? Great. Carolyn? Oh, great. Our two new ones. Janet and Dell. We don't need any more. Four is fine. Then the publicity and recruitment, where we sit down and we review the candidates, I mean the nominators, all of the lists of individuals that we mail a letter to, making sure people know, and the newspaper. And in this time, we may also want to consider web presence. So this is the recruiting marketing committee, and looks over our list of nominators.
Looks over the list of nominators.
Right. Yep.
It's who we.
We send a letter to. The MNSCU will send letters to many of its. I don't know their mailing list. I've never really known for sure some of their alumni, some of their supporters. And this is really to look at people like the president of the AFL-CIO, the state chamber, a lot of the organizations around
that
the state.
That list electronically?
That is available.
It's available? Yeah. So isn't it all of our responsibility to look at that list and notice who's not on that list from my area that I would think?
That's exactly what we need, is to help people from the area. So how long is that list?
Depends on which list we're talking about. The Friends list, I think, is that list,
right.
All the different organizations. It might be a few hundred. It's kind of a lot.
Okay.
I mean, because I think I would not know from their areas who should be on the list, but I would know from my area who should be on the list.
Right.
So I think each of us has a responsibility to look at the list to make sure no one is being omitted. So instead of me looking at the list for everybody, I think we all should take part in looking at the list, because I best know in my district what should be on the list.
That's been our biggest challenge, is to know, particularly some of the greater Minnesota district.
Right.
Right.
And I think that we all have a responsibility to look at the list and not just a few people, because you don't know more.
Sonia, I think we did that last year, except that we also, I was on the committee and I remember dialing into that meeting. And it was helpful for me as I heard other people kind of brainstorm who should be added, because there's so many people in your area and my area that I might not think of. And then when someone else said, hey, the, Council of Nonprofits, I was like, oh, yeah, we have this and that. And so I found the discussion helpful, and I'd agree, too, that we should all look at the list.
Right, too, besides the company.
So I'd be happy to be on the committee if we're having a committee.
Okay.
And I'll join Liz on that committee.
Okay. I would also like to.
Okay, Tim?
I'd like for that committee, too. But I'm on the policy. NIMCO.
Yep.
We can diversify.
NIMCO?
Yep.
Yep, okay. All right. So do you have those lists?
So okay. That's NIMCO, Sonia, and Liz Dell.
Right. And Sally will be the one to coordinate the calling of the committee meeting. And this could be one where we have a local group with call-ins. So you wouldn't have to make a special trip.
No, I'm calling.
Right. Yep. Okay. And I realize we're not heading into the most productive couple weeks, but hope the committees can get their work done before the next meeting. In early January. Great. Good. Item number 9, program planning. What we usually like to do is invite people like old Senator Pappas or others in a timely fashion to come and talk about what we should be looking for this round. We heard from the senator about the importance of having been involved in CEO processes, but there are other things as well. We've at times asked the chair, the current chair of the board, to come, David Olson, to talk. We've had the chancellor here or a representative of the chancellor's office, but I'm open. What we'd like to hear is get some feel for what are going to be the issues that these trustees will be dealing with over their first term. Nancy.
Yeah, I had a conversation with the chancellor recently, and as we all know, he is leaving in a year. And what he said to me was kind of interesting about replacing trustees, and I think that it would benefit the group if he would come and talk to the group and be open for questions. And, he's always willing to do that.
Sure.
And if his schedule is too busy, he will, send somebody to represent him.
Okay, so invitation to the chancellor.
Great, he'd be the number one.
Would we also want an invitation to the chair, who also will be coming up to the end of a term, but or one of the trustees?
I don't know. I think the chancellor would speak more openly without a trustee present. Just be real honest about it.
Should we invite them at different times and tell them don't come early?
Different day.
Different day, no. Right.
Well, you might want to get two points of view, but I think if you want to get an open discussion, I'm sure the chancellor won't say anything in public that he wouldn't say in front of a trustee, so.
We don't know that.
Yeah. Well, in some respects, the fact that he's coming at the end, he's a freer agent.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I think having Chancellor McCormick come, he knows the gaps in the abilities of the trustees, the kinds of skills that are needed. He knows the challenges that system is going to face in the next decade. I think to have him or if he can't, his representative and give our full attention to that. Rather than diluting it down with some others, I personally would support that.
So just have one
just
get
have,
one.
Just have the chancellor's office, if he can do it, or whomever he would send,
right.
To talk about how he sees the future of MNSCU and how we can support that goal.
Okay.
His goals.
Yes, Tim.
Mr. Chair, has there ever been any collaboration between our group and the region selection group, just on best practices of? What they do for their selection process, since it's very similar to ours?
I've had lunch with the chair of RCAC after each cycle.
Okay.
During the two cycles I've been here. So, and they're remarkably similar, but they have the legislative gauntlet to run, which makes this very different. It's always interesting that when MNSCU was set up, they decided not to do that for MNSCU. Mm-hmm. So we have a more streamlined process at the end.
And Billy serves on both.
And Billy Young serves on both.
So.
And Joe, right. And so we'd be happy to take advice when we talk over our policies and procedures next time.
Yeah. I have nothing to offer.
Great.
No, it goes well.
So we'll concentrate. That's not a bad idea because next meeting we'll also have we have the two committee reports to get, and we'll have some update on the AFL-CIO issues. So in terms of timing,
yeah,
probably good to have just full one
schedule.
Yep. Okay. Are there any other items to come before the committee, to come before the group? Oh, yes. For those of you who know, you do have the opportunity for a per diem for each meeting.
Three.
And mileage.
Parking.
Parking, anything. So if you get time to fill it out, then I can sign them now. And
if we don't want anything, do we turn these in anyway? I can't.
You can just leave. You can put it in your folder.
Just leave it in the folder. So
we can fill it out like that.
Yeah.
I forgot to take them.
So. Anything else?
Yes.
Anything for the good of the order?
Yes.
Well?
We await your email about the advice you received.
Yes. We will do that as quickly as mm-hmm. we can. So, great. Motion to adjourn is in order.
So move.
Your second? All in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned.
I'll mail this
thank
to you.
You.
I'm not sure if I'm going to.
Are you going to come next slide?
Yes.
Yeah. You need that, my time.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Well, I was going to say, because my other appointment board requires it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back. It's a long drive.
I'm going to take somebody to the airport.
Where do you see that?
Just put it in for the airport.